Appreciate all our singers and musicians, and appreciate you this morning. Want to, as you can see, we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper in a few moments. And before we do that, I want us to go through a little bit of background on Bible study. Why don't you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 22 first. Luke chapter 22, we're going to begin reading, just read verse 14 there. But one of the things that I'm going to do, I've got a lot of scripture that's going to be on the screens for you. And don't worry about turning to those because they're going to be there for you. But you might want to make in your notes just to write down the scripture reference if you want to go back and look at them again. So we're going to do a little Bible study this morning, but I want to read this passage of Scripture, and then we'll kind of dig in, and then we're going to observe the Lord's Supper this morning. So Luke chapter 22, beginning verse 14. You found it, you're able. Would you stand and honor the reading of God's holy word? When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said to them, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. But I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you this morning for the new covenant. We thank you for what Jesus did to give us hope in the future, to give us a place in heaven, to grant to us forgiveness of sin, to make us whole. Lord, help us as we study your word to look into it and to understand its truth. As when we observe your Lord's Supper, Lord, we would understand its full meaning and impact on our lives. We give you the thanks for it in Christ's name. And amen. You may be seated. I'm turning over to Exodus chapter 24. You don't need to turn there. Like I said, it's going to be on the screen. I want to read a few verses there, and then we're going to go back and kind of dissect those. But I want us to see first that the old covenant was given. In chapter 24, in verse 4, it says this, "And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took the half of the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, 'All that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient.' And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, 'This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words.'" Now, I want you to notice the old covenant was given to Moses to give to the people. Notice some quick things about it. It was confirmed by God's word. God initiated it. God gave it. God was the one who watched over it, instituted it to the people. Verse 4 there in chapter 24, it says, "And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord." In other words, he was the one behind it all. And it was given in the context of sacrifice. Verse 4 and 5, we read there that Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and the 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young men to the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. See, this covenant was given in the context of sacrifice, and it was conditional upon their obedience. Verse 7 we read, "And he took the book of the covenant and read and hearing the people, and they said, 'All that the Lord has said, we will do.'" You know, if you went into the whole context of it, God said, "If you will do these things, I will bless you. But if you don't do these things, I will put cursings on you." Back and forth they went there in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and 28, God listing those things that would happen to them. God said, "I will be your people. I will bless you. But if you got to do the things that I've given you to do," because it was a conditional covenant. And it called for the shedding of blood. Verse 8. And he took of the book of the covenant and read it and hearing the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood, sprinkling on the people and said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. It called for blood, sacrifice. Then I want you to notice, secondly, how the new covenant was initiated, instituted. And we read in Luke chapter 22 how Jesus initiated the new covenant in his blood. About 600 B.C., the prophet Jeremiah prophesied in Jeremiah 31 through 33. He said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the land in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, they didn't keep the conditions, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this covenant, this is the covenant I will put in the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Jeremiah, approximately 600 years before, had told that this is what God was going to do. And Jesus said, I'm here and I am doing it. I'm putting it into place. The new covenant. Quick parallel of the old and new covenants. Two major differences in the two. In the old covenant, one was conditional upon their obedience. The new covenant was based on faith. Secondly, the old covenant required the offering of animal sacrifices for the atonement for their sins. Remember, they would offer up daily, almost sacrificing sins for the sins as they occurred. But once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement and offer a sacrifice for all the people. Once a year, every year. But the new covenant was based on the sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus, who would give his life for us. Notice in the new covenant, his body was to be sacrificed. Let me read you some verses out of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have sanctified, by that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Don't forget that little phrase, once for all. When Jesus Christ died on that cross once for all, that means if somebody today who doesn't know Christ wants to come and ask forgiveness for their sins and to trust him as Lord and Savior, and I hope here this morning, if you don't know him, that you will do that. You trust him for the forgiveness of your sin. He's already paid for your sin on the cross. He didn't have to go back to the cross for you and say, oops, I got a new one. I got to go do it again. No, he did it once for all. And if there's a new failure in our life, you know, I'm not perfect, here and you're not. Tomorrow I may do something horrible, or I just don't do what God wants me to do. But that failure was paid for already once for all. He didn't have to go back and say, I got to go make atonement for Steve again. He blew it. He messed up. His body sacrificed once for all in this new covenant of faith. His blood was to be shed. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 18 says, therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and goats with water, scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise he sprinkled with the blood both of the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Jesus had to shed his blood for our remission of sin, for our forgiveness. One of the sad things in churches today across America, in a lot of our hymnals, they're wanting to remove the blood. But the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. You take away the blood sacrifice, you don't have a sacrifice. We don't have a Savior. We don't have any hope of heaven. We don't have any forgiveness, but Jesus shed his blood. He said, this is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood. Notice his word was spoken, confirm its promise. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 through 18. And every priest stands ministering daily and often repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, that is Jesus, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies were made his footstool, for by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he said before, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days. He's quoting out of Jeremiah 31, like I just quoted. Says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, I will in their minds, I will write them, and he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. It's just in my hand, the only price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. It's all about him. He did it all for us. He gave his life. He shed his blood. He goes on in verse 19 of chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. You know, my salvation doesn't depend on what I did. It's what he did. He's already done. Amen. By faith, when I trusted him as my Lord and Savior, he adopted me into his family. He cleansed me from because of what he'd already done on Calvary's cross. He sanctified me. He's making me fit for heaven. In God's eyes, I'm already fit. See, there's the new covenant Jesus instituted. Well, let me share one other thing with you this morning real quickly. That covenant was expanded. What are you talking about, Pastor? See, that covenant, it was given to the Jewish believers first. When I read in Luke chapter 22, those sitting around that Jesus is talking about, this is a new covenant, those were Jewish believers. Those were Jewish apostles that were following Jesus. You say, wait a minute. The new covenant was given to the church. Yes, but the first believers in the church were Jewish. Romans 1:16, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, the Gentile. God brought his salvation, his covenant to his people first, and then it was granted to the Gentiles who would believe. Remember the story of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10? Cornelius is a devout man, fears God, gives alms and everything else. He gives offerings and he's praying and he's wanting to know the Lord. He's wanting to do what's right. And an angel appears to him and says, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard in heaven. Go send for one named Peter who's down in Joppa at the house of Simon the Tanner and send for him and bring him and he'll tell you what you ought to do. So Cornelius sends for Peter. Peter at that time, you remember the story, he's up on the housetop, he's praying and he's hungry. And all of a sudden he sees a big sheet being let down from heaven and all kinds of animals hung in that sheet. And a voice comes from heaven and says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter, being a good Jewish man, says, well, wait a minute, Lord, there's unclean animals in there. I can't rise and eat a pig. Or some other animal? Doesn't have cloven hooves and chew the cud? I can't do that, Lord. And God says, what I have called unclean, don't you call it uncommon and unclean. Comes down again, same thing, three times. When Peter's sitting there wondering, what in the world does this mean? The man appeared at the door and said, we're come to find Peter. He's got to come back to Caesarea with us. For a man named Cornelius has sent for him. Peter goes, and God begins to open his heart that this covenant is being expanded to include the Gentiles. And Peter says in verse 34 of Acts chapter 10 that Peter opens his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation who fears him and works righteousness accepted by him. And Peter preached the gospel, and Cornelius and all his household was saved. Paul said in Romans chapter 11, we were grafted in. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God, in his mercy to his chosen people, instituted a new covenant, but then expanded it for you and I, that we could be grafted in, we could be part of the family of God? You know, that whole thing caused such an uproar in Antioch and others. Gentiles being saved, the people in Jerusalem didn't know what to do, and they called together a council in Acts chapter 15, verse 6 through 9, and they wanted to figure out, well, what are we doing? What's God doing? These Gentiles are receiving the Holy Spirit and getting saved, trusting in Jesus, just like we have. It says, now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Remember, that old covenant was conditional upon obedience. But God has a new covenant by faith. He goes on in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, it's not conditional, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working you that which well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, let me tell you, when I say this new covenant is not conditional, there is a condition. And that is, it's by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ. Turning from your sin in repentance to trusting in Christ. And when we trust him as our Lord and Savior, then he forgives us, gives us his Holy Spirit, who lives within us and witnesses to us that we're a child of God, writes his name down in our Lamb's Book of Life, makes us fit for heaven. And one day when this life is over, we'll go to be with him forever. But it's conditional on one thing, not on anything that you have done, but if you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Now I want you to look what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 26. He's talking about the Lord's Supper to them. And he says, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. See, we were told to continue this. This do this. We were told to reflect and remember his death for our sin. He gave his body. He shed his blood, that you and I can be forgiven and know heaven as our home. And we're called to rejoice till he comes. This do in remembrance of me, for in doing so you do proclaim the Lord's death till he come. We have his promise. If you read in Matthew the account of when they had the Lord's Supper, it says after they did that, they sung a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Now think about something for a minute. Jesus has told them he's going to be betrayed. One of them is going to deny him. Matter of fact, Jesus said, you're all going to deny me. One of them is going to betray him. He's going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men. They're going to crucify him. They're going to kill him. Imagine you were sitting in that upper room. This Lord that you believed was the Savior of Israel, this one who you saw him do miracles and healed and gave sight to the blind and calmed the winds and the waves and the storm, you saw him do all these things. You knew and trusted he was the Messiah. And all of a sudden he says, but I'm going away. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to die. And they didn't catch the part about the third day he's going to rise from the dead. Our Lord is going to die. And the whole thing with the new covenant, I can imagine as an ordinary people like me and you, most of it's going over their head at this point. All they're thinking about, wait a minute, Lord, you're the one who's going to deliver Israel. You're our Savior, our Lord. You're going to die? And they sing a hymn. And I can just imagine those guys when they went outside in the night. It's dark. They're depressed. They're discouraged. They're confused. They don't have any hope. What's going to happen next? This morning, at the end of the service, even after the announcements, I want Adrian, fellas, if you just lead us in Amazing Grace, we're going to sing a hymn. But rather than going out in the dark, we're going out in the light. Rather than going out discouraged and depressed and all those things, we're going out rejoicing because we have a Savior who lives and reigns forevermore, and one day he's coming back for us. And we can rejoice with hope. One of the men they were interviewing at the end of the, after the fire, this reporter was interviewing this man, and he said, yes, we've lost everything. He said, but we have hope. He said, I am a Christian. And I know this world is not our home, and I have hope because of Jesus Christ, because he lives. So we're going to go out this morning, even in the midst of our pain and heartache over the things going on in our world, we have hope. Because we have a Savior who instituted a covenant that will never fail, and he adopted us into his family, he adopted us in as Gentiles, and we can go out rejoicing this morning. Amen. We're going to observe the Lord's Supper this morning. I hope and pray that you, as we do this, you and I will realize his body broken for us, his blood shed for us, and by his life we live. We'll just take just a moment. If someone wants to come and pray, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want to just, if Adrian would come, just play some soft music for a minute. If you don't know Christ as your Savior and you want to be saved, I want to stand down here at front just for a moment or two. If you want to come and say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I want to enter into this new covenant. I want to be forgiven of my sin. God's deal with your heart. It should come. If you're this morning, maybe you just want to come and just something stirring your heart. You need to settle with the Lord, or maybe you just want to come and give thanks, or maybe you want to come and just pray for someone. I want every head to be bowed and every eye closed just for a minute. He plays. Let's just respond as the Lord leads us this morning. If you need to come this morning, you just need to pray. If you need to make a decision for the Lord, step out and come right now as Adrian plays. Come this morning, step out and come. Is he speaking to you this morning that you need to trust Christ? Know his forgiveness of sin. Know the promise of heaven. For God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten son, that's Jesus, that if you would believe in him, you would not perish, but have everlasting life. He He's saying this morning, come, trust my son, and be saved. We'll wait.